All right, Alexander, let's talk about the Democrats' strategy and the Republican strategy, actually, too, because this is a kind of an interesting video to do, because we started with the 25th Amendment. Now we're definitely moving towards another impeachment. But we're also hearing, I don't know if we want to say rumors, but we're hearing proposals that at the end of the day, we just might see Trump being censured, to avoid an impeachment. And this is being floated by Republicans. So is this some sort of perhaps, backroom deal making that we're seeing as to how they're going to move forward, the uniparty, how they're going to move forward to punish Trump? Because obviously, while the Democrats want to go full speed ahead with the orange man bad, tarnish Trump and his followers as much as possible, and while the Republicans would like to do that, obviously the Republicans are thinking that there is going to be a very high political price to pay if they move forward with some sort of, without a doubt, a 25th Amendment, but with some sort of impeachment, obviously, there's going to be a very, very high political price. So in the end of the day, is the censure kind of thing the compromise? How do you read this?
I think it is, though I'm not sure it's going to stick for all sorts of reasons. Can I just say, it seems to me that what has happened is that both the Democrats and the establishment Republicans were determined after the events on 6th January to move forward to basically knock out Donald Trump. But what they've discovered are a number of things that are holding them back and are complicating massively their strategy. The first is that opinion polling is now coming in, opinion poll data. Not all of it is consistent. But the opinion poll agencies, the most reliable ones, people like Rasmussen, what they're suggesting is that Donald Trump's support is holding up or possibly even increasing. And that is causing problems with establishment Republicans trying to rally their entire supporters in Congress or their people in Congress. Against any move against Donald Trump, in support of any move against Donald Trump. The Democrats have the opposite problem because, of course, they've talked a very, very big game about, you know, how the, you know, Donald Trump's actions on the 6th of January were a coup and were an attempt to overthrow American democracy. And so they've now fired up their supporters. And they are basically on a train that is in the process of running away. So what has happened is that both sides are coming under pressure. And the result is that the Democrats are overreaching. Firstly, they floated this idea of the 25th Amendment of the Constitution, which says that a president can be removed from office if he becomes incapable of performing his duties. The problem is, there is no independent evidence of this. This is, as I've discussed in a program, a video I've done for my own channel, the 25th Amendment was intended to deal with a situation where the president becomes severely ill and therefore is incapable of performing his duties properly. A situation like the one that Woodrow Wilson faced, for example, where it was universally known that he was not really any longer acting as president himself. He was too ill to perform his job. And in that particular case, it all fell to his chief of staff. And that was extremely unsatisfactory. And for that reason, people don't want to get, when they framed the 25th Amendment, they didn't want to get into that situation again. So there is no medical evidence that points to Donald Trump being ill in that way. And Pence, who would have to agree, isn't keen on the idea, almost certainly for that reason, and also because he senses that the American base would be, the Republican base would be unhappy. And of course, apparently other members of the cabinet aren't too keen on that idea either. And as I explained on my channel, it would be a disastrous precedent anyway. So the Democrats floated this idea of the 25th Amendment. You had these dramatic acts, very ill-judged acts, in my opinion, by Pelosi, of contacting the Joint Chiefs of Staff and seeking reassurances that Donald Trump wouldn't be able to press the nuclear button. I mean, nobody's talking in those terms. It was ludicrous of Pelosi to bring that up. So the 25th Amendment having failed, the Democrats are storming ahead with an impeachment based on allegations of incitement to insurrection. The problem is, as I've also explained in another program on my channel, and as has also been explained by various lawyers like Jonathan Turley and Andrew McCarthy, it doesn't seem as if Donald Trump did commit the criminal offence of incitement on the 6th of January. I mean, the components of that offence don't seem to be there. And as both Jonathan Turley and Andrew McCarthy are pointing out, case law makes it very clear that what Donald Trump said on 6th January has First Amendment protection. So, as Jonathan Turley says, it makes very little sense for Congress to run ahead and try to impeach Donald Trump when what he said were things that are protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. And doing so would create many more problems in the future. It would be, in fact, another disastrous precedent. So that's what's happening with the Democrats. They're pressing ahead with an ill-judged impeachment that makes little sense. The establishment Republicans, for their part, are trying to find some way of, damaging Donald Trump without antagonizing their base. And they're coming up with problems. Andrew McCarthy, who supports impeachment, by the way, I should mention that, or at least says that Donald Trump committed some impeachable offense, has come up with a formula for impeachment, which I have to say, I found completely incoherent. I mean, it didn't make any sense to me. And now we see another Republican, John Reed, who's suggesting a censure of Donald Trump by Congress, but also importantly, moves by Congress to bar Donald Trump from standing for office in the future. Now, I'm not sure that the second is possible. I don't see how it can be done. And I suspect if it was done, it would be unconstitutional, because I'm not sure what legal force a censure has. It seems to be purely declamatory. And for Congress to try and take a step that bars an American citizen from exercising his rights under the Constitution to stand for elected office, I would have thought was incredibly problematic in itself. Impeachment does that. I can't see how a censor motion would do it instead. And I understand, by the way, that there is precedent for this. I understand that there is actually a former district judge, who was actually removed from office by Congress and who's now actually a representative in Congress, was subsequently elected as a representative in Congress. I don't think you can take people's rights away from them in that kind of way. And I think it's extremely unwise to try, and I think a disastrous precedent to do so. So the Democrats are getting themselves in confusion. The establishment Republicans are getting themselves in confusion. They can't support a misconceived impeachment. They are aware that their base would not support them and would punish them were it to do so. And they're now thrashing around for alternatives, which actually, when you unpack them, make very little sense indeed. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Decisions made in anger are repented at leisure. Both the Democrats and establishment Republicans are letting their anger run away with them. And I think that what they will end up doing is getting themselves bogged down in procedural messes. And instead of combining against Trump, which is what they seem to be, what they seem to be trying to do, they're going to end up dividing again, with most Republicans, both in the House and in the Senate, crystallizing in opposition to whatever the Democrats are doing. An ill-judged set of moves carried out in haste when, as I said, this was not the time to do either of those things.
Yeah, their Trump derangement syndrome is tying them up into a pretzel. There's no doubt about that. Yes. And there are rumors, press reports that President Trump has sat down with Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence. They did have a meeting. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know the exact details, but it seems like those two men are now, you know, speaking to each other. Mm-hmm. And for what it's worth, that's a good sign for the Trump White House. I would make that assumption.
Absolutely, as is the fact that Kevin McCarthy, who's the leader of the House Republicans, has made it absolutely clear that he opposes impeachment. I get the sense that even, so does Mitch McConnell, by the way. I think Mitch McConnell has also made statements which appear to be opposing impeachment. I think that if the Democrats and the Republicans had come together, I'm talking about the establishment wings of the two parties, come up with a simple censure motion last week, it would have carried. I think now it's become too late for that. And whereas it would have been an important move had it been done last week, today, if it were done now, just a simple censure motion, Donald Trump and his supporters would see it as a sign of weakness, and the Democratic Party base would be enraged and would make its frustrations clear against its membership. So I think they've messed up. I think, as I said, the Democrats went for some kind of a knockout blow, which was a crazy thing to do, a foolish thing to do, just a few days before the transition is supposed to take place and the new inauguration is supposed to take place. And the Republicans failed, I think, to restrain the Democrats. So we have a situation where, as is often the way, by the way, in the aftermath of these sort of events, the reaction is turning out to be less effective than I think either the leaders of either parties expected. I have to say one other thing. I mean, the Democrats are apparently planning to carry on with this impeachment after Trump leaves office. There's even talk of holding it back for 100 days in order to give Biden time to, you know, to set his cabinet and his government together and to sort out his appointments and to set out his position. That's the excuse that's been given, or the reason that's been given. Well, I think that is absolutely ludicrous. First of all, I think it is ludicrous to try to impeach a president after he's already left office. I mean, whether it's constitutional or not, I leave to others. But I mean, it makes no sense to me anyway. But I mean, they were the people who were talking about urgency. They were the people who were talking about the 25th Amendment. They are the people who were sending Pelosi to talk to the chiefs of staff about preventing Donald Trump, you know, launching nuclear weapons all over the place. They are the people who talk about urgency in their articles of impeachment that they're circulating. And yet, there is so little urgency in this matter that apparently they're not going to move for a Senate trial until after 100 days have passed from the inauguration. I mean, this doesn't make any kind of sense. And it shows you the knots that they're getting, tying themselves up in.
Yeah, because the purpose of all of this is not has nothing to do with fear that Trump is going to press some nuclear button or something. This is about demoralizing and punishing not only Trump, but demoralizing and punishing his base, who both parties despise. The difference is that the Democrats have given up on trying to win over the votes of his base with good policies, with good arguments and reason and logic. They've completely given up on that side of America, those 80 million voters. While the Republicans, as much as they would like to not have that base and swap it for the Democrat base, the Republicans are saying, you know, we're kind of stuck with this base, and this is the base that Trump delivered us victories with. So they're both stuck. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, it was the people that stuck by Trump so that the Democrats and the Republicans, they couldn't go full speed ahead with their plan of demoralization and punishment because the approval ratings are showing that. And real quick from Zero Hedge, you're right, Alexander, because it's a Republican New York State Congressman, Tom Reed, makes the point that incitement would never fly. I'll read you the quote. While the president's words were unwise, intemperate and wrong, they may not qualify as incitement. I've read a lot of articles, Alexander, and every article says the same thing from all legal experts, the same things you're saying. There is not a court of law in the entire planet that would interpret Trump's speech as incitement. It won't fly anywhere. Now, of course, people make the argument, you know, impeachment is not, you know, it is not done in a court of law. It's not tried in a court of law. But still, there is not a court of law in the land that would define what Trump said as incitement. You may interpret it as such. You may not have liked it. But under the legal framework, I think it's impossible to say it was incitement. So, you know, this has been a massive miscalculation. They just should have let it go.
Absolutely. Can I just say, I mean, I agree, by the way, about demoralizing Trump's base. What they're probably doing actually is antagonizing it and angering it, but that's another story. The other thing that I think the objective of all these moves was to prevent Donald Trump standing again in 2024. I think this is really one of the major issues, one of the major motivations behind all of these moves. But of course, that, again, begs the question whether you should take away somebody's right to stand for election because, frankly, you're afraid of him. In a democracy, that shouldn't be the position. It seems to me that's a complete misunderstanding of how democracy is supposed to work. And trying to bar Donald Trump using legal mechanisms of dubious constitutional effectiveness and propriety to try and stop Donald Trump standing for president in 2024 seems to me to be a misjudgment on multiple levels. It is a misjudgment because, of course, of the disastrous precedent it would set. I mean, would Congress in effect become a filter whereby it'd be able to filter in future candidates that it liked or didn't like? I mean, you know, it's a sort of criticism that the US makes of countries like Iran and, you know, Russia even, you know, that they in Iran, they even have a guardian council which decides who's allowed to stand for the president and who is not. Is that what the United States is going to become? A place where Congress decides who can stand for president and who can't stand for president? I think that's a very, very foolish and reckless idea. And I'm not sure it's constitutional anyway, and more to the point, I don't think it's going to work. Firstly, I don't think it's going to work because I don't think it's legal. But secondly, I think what you will see is that in that kind of situation, Trump's electoral base would crystallize around someone else whom Trump supported, or Trump would find some way of breaking through this. I don't think it's going to work anyway. I don't think now there is the support for it. So that's one thing. The other thing which we've talked about, and which is the question of incitement itself, the the big mistake the Democrats have made, and here I have to say, I mean, I agree on with Andrew McCarthy, this is the legal analyst on National Review, not the leader, the Republican leader of the House, who's Kevin McCarthy. Andrew McCarthy on some things, and I, you know, disagree with him on many others, but on this I do agree with him. Firstly, it would be impossible to bring a successful case, a successful prosecution on incitement grounds against Donald Trump in the United States. By the way, it also would be in Britain and in every jurisdiction that I know. I've done a program about that on my channel. But that is the offense the Democrats in their articles of impeachment are alleging. They're actually talking in the articles of impeachment about incitement to insurrection. Now, the problem with that is they're having alleged in the articles of impeachment a criminal offence, the criminal offence of incitement. The Democrats, through their articles of impeachment in a Senate trial, have set themselves the challenge of proving that Donald Trump did carry out that criminal offence. That is hopeless. It's inconceivable to my mind that the Senate, or at least the Republican senators, will support a impeachment brought upon charges which no court in the United States would ever entertain. It is a complete mistake, extraordinary mistake. And I don't think the Democrats now, realistically, can row back on it.
Yeah, they're scared of Trump, plain and simple. I've seen interviews with Pelosi. I've seen interviews even with the actress, the former actress known as AOC, who's now somehow ended up in Congress. And you can see in their voice, they're completely petrified of Trump and everything he stands for, his entire America First movement. And that is why I think they've taken the weasel way out of it. And they know that under a court of law, any court of law, everything they're saying is complete rubbish. It doesn't stand. And so they got their big tech lapdogs to do the dirty work for them. And not only big tech, all kinds of big multinational companies to do their dirty work for them and be the juror, the judge and the juror, as far as the January 6th events go.
I completely agree. Can I just say, it is one of the things that tells you that they're afraid of Trump is their extraordinary anger. I was reading an article by Jim Geraghty, who is the editor of National Review, who is an establishment Republican. And again, it was bizarre reading that article to see how he was trying to put together a case for impeachment out of the events that took place on 6 January. And in order to do that, he was actually omitting certain key facts about the sequence of events on that day and giving interpretations to those events, which realistically have no bearing in no connection to reality. When people start talking in that way, it tells you how angry they are. When people are as angry as some of these people are, it's clearly a sign that they're scared. Fear and anger very often, in my opinion, go together. They are frightened of Donald Trump. They are frightened about the amount of support he has in the country. They are frightened about the fact that he remains a potent electoral force. They are bewildered by the fact that he won 74 million votes in the November election. And they are frightened about the possibility of him coming back in 2024. And they're thrashing around to find some way of stopping him and of preventing that from happening. Whereas, realistically, I can't see that all these moves work for them in the way that they intend them to. Last week, after the events of 6 January, Donald Trump was very much on the defensive. His opponents are now making one mistake after another, talking about 25th Amendments, talking about unwise and foolish impeachments, making bizarre claims about the risk of nuclear war. I mean, you know, ludicrous things of that nature. And even talking about, you know, barring him from standing in 2024 in ways, as I said, which Congress almost certainly doesn't have the power to do and should never do anyway. Making these kind of mistakes is actually playing into his hands. It's making him stronger. And I get to say something else. Barring him from speaking, going out on Twitter and, you know, tweeting in the way that he did, actually at this precise moment in time is working to his advantage, because sometimes the best thing to do when your enemies make a mistake is to just go on letting them do so. And I think the fact that he's not able to come out publicly and speak out about these things means that the Democrats and the Republicans have the space to thrash out and make more mistakes, which are going to play ultimately into his hands. That's how it looks to me. Obviously, this is a volatile situation at the moment, but the single most important fact about the last few days is that those pollsters who came out as most accurate about the result of the November election are saying that for the moment, Donald Trump's support in the country is steady or even rising.
Yeah, we'll leave it there, Alexander. The only thing that you have to look at is who's hysterical and who's not. And Trump is quiet. The Trump camp is quiet, and they're just sitting back and watching. Yeah. You know, the Pelosi's and the Schumer's just go completely off the rails.
Well, indeed. Absolutely.
That's all you have to do. Absolutely. Just look at who's hysterical.
Absolutely. And dare I say it, the Jim Gerrity's, and at some level, Andrew McCarthy. I'm sorry to say that, a National Review. I mean, he's proposed alternative grounds of impeachment. I mean, look, absolutely incoherent to me. They are a complete mess. And from such a capable lawyer, I have to say, I was embarrassed.
Yeah, but it's still National Review, and National Review is establishment Republican. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is neither part wing of the establishment, neither establishment Republicans nor establishment Democrats have any real understanding of how to respond to this extraordinary political force that has emerged in the United States over the last 5 years, and which the November election showed is growing stronger. Donald Trump added 11 million votes to his 2016 vote in the November election, despite all the problems that the United States has been through over the last year. And that is a remarkable thing.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. They just should have, anyway, they should have just shut up and just let the 12, 13, 14 days, whatever it was from the 6th, 14 days, they just should have let it run its course.
That would have been the right and correct and wise thing to do. But people who are angry and afraid, and they are both, always end up making mistakes, and they are. They're making mistakes, more mistakes all the time as we see them.
All right. Subscribe to our channel on BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and Bitcoin. You'll find those links down below. That really helps out our channel a lot. And what else? What else? The Durant Shop. Here's my magic mug, of course, and the world famous Durant shop.
And here is obviously my Durant magic mug with the flag of the USA. You'll find the flags of many countries, by the way, on our shop. But this is the USA mug. And given how important and serious the use of the USA is at the moment, well, it's obviously that's the mug to have. And of course, you can find our T-shirts, our famous hats, our sweatshirts, our hoodies on our shop, all our products, absolutely extraordinary, amazing quality. Feedback we get from people who buy them is marvelous. But you support us by coming to our shop and buying things there. And you can support us also by finding us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. You can join us on our Discord server. And please also remember to look up our various channels, my channel, Alex's channel. You'll find links under this program. And join us also for our next broadcast.
All right. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody. Take care.